I'm Paul Wiegraf, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me by phone, representing the Broadkill Review as the poetry and interview editor, is Linda Blasky. Welcome, Linda.
Hello, Paul. It's good to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a while since we've had anything on our show about the Broadkill Review or Broadkill River Press, so I thought this would be a great opportunity to have you share with us some of the work that you're doing, especially in the context of the reading series that's going on throughout the summer and early into the fall. Linda, tell us, for our listeners, a little bit about you. I mean, you are a very accomplished poet and prose writer. Your work's appeared in a number of different publications, and locally you've received, I believe, a couple fellowships as well from the Delaware Division of the Arts. So a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have. I've received two fellowship grants from DDOA, and that's what kind of pushed me over the top and helped me do a lot of the things that I've wanted to do. If you had asked me 10 years ago if I would have been a poetry or editor or an interview editor, I would have just laughed. I've received some prizes for my work. I've had a short story performed in Philadelphia. I love what I do for the Broadkill Review. I don't know what else to tell you. It's hard to talk about oneself.
Sure. Let's delve into the Broadkill Review. What is the Broadkill Review?
The Broadkill Review is a literary journal that comes out six times a year. It was created by Jamie Brown. It's different from a lot of literary journals in that it's not online as you would think of an online journal. It arrives in your email box if you're a subscriber or a contributor in a PDF format. And with that arrival, there's a link that stays open for about 2 weeks, and you, contributor or subscriber, can share that with as many people as you'd like. I think a lot of people locally would be surprised to know that it's an international magazine. Marianne Kahn is our editor in Australia and covers that continent and the South Pacific Rim. And we just added Katie Masuga, who is our European editor in Paris. We have readers all over the world. We have contributors from all over the world. And when we've done polls, we've been surprised to discover we have about 10,000 readers.
Wow. Now, how long has the Broadkill Review been around?
We are in the second half of our 10th year.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So how many, do you have any ballpark figure of how many literary contributors you've had over that time?
Oh, my. I try in each issue, and there's six a year. I'm not good at math at all. I try to put at least 12 to 13 poets in each issue, and each poet, I try and publish several of their poems so that we can get a really good view of what their work is like. Sometimes one poem doesn't reflect that. Jamie covers the fiction and nonfiction, and I'm going to say on an average there are 3 to 5 prose works in each issue. So if you take that over 9.5 years, it's a lot of people.
So how were you with this from the ground up?
I was a contributing editor from the beginning.
Okay.
And then several years ago, Jamie asked me to interview Robert Pinsky, and I almost fainted. But I did, and from that point on, I was the interview editor, and then he asked me to be the poetry editor. So I've been with the Review from the beginning, but in different capacities.
So how would you characterize sort of the growth trajectory, and how did that happen? I mean, you say that it's international in scope, both with readers and contributors. How was it pushed out? How did it become as familiar as it is?
Well, Jamie told me that early on with his first issue, which I believe was probably the smallest issue, he went out and he strong-armed people that he knew and asked them to contribute. And they did. And then those people said, you know, I'm a friend of Jamie Brown's, and how about if you contribute to his new literary journal? And I think from that point on, it started, it spread word of mouth. But then when our contributors started sharing the issues with their friends, other people wanted to submit. And it just took on a life of its own, and has grown and grown and grown.
So it sounds like it's really a grassroots networking that has allowed it to expand.
Yes, in the beginning, I believe so.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
And I think we have a reputation for being eclectic. We don't choose one style of poetry prose, and we like to give beginning writers a chance. And that gets around. Mm-hmm. I get submissions that say, my friend says that you are kind to beginning writers, you know. So, and I think that's important.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, any kind of creative artist, you, especially literary artist, you're really putting yourself out there with the written word, putting yourself in a vulnerable position. Tell me, for the writer, either beginner or experienced, what is the process for submitting?
Well, we have two separate methods. The fiction goes through Submittable, which is an online submission manager. And you can find that submission source online at thebroadkillriverpress.com/the-broadkill-review. And it'll be right there. Poetry, and there's also a link at that same address I just gave you for poetry, comes directly to me. I have a special email account for poetry because I like to work on a personal level with a poet.
Mm-hmm.
And having been on both sides, I think that submission managers can be a little distancing and impersonal.
Mm-hmm.
And I prefer to get to know these poets, and some of them have become really good friends over time.
Interesting. I mean, this in this digital age, this method of receiving, editing, publishing is quite different than say 50 years ago, where it was always, you know, it was the print copy and the like. But your one-on-one is really fascinating to me. What do you look for in poetry? What does Jamie look for in the work he receives? And are you the sole selectors, or how does that work?
Jamie is the sole selector for prose. Sometimes in the summer when he's away, he will get a summer editor to help him out. In the past, the summer fiction editor has been H.A. Maxson, and he's helped out in the summertime. For poetry, I, for the most part, am the sole selector. Some people that Jamie has known for years and years will send poetry directly to him, and on occasion he'll accept some of their work, which he certainly is allowed to do because he's the editor-in-chief.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Absolutely.
But, yeah, I'm the primary poetry.
And what sort of criteria do you use? Or I mean, I'm thinking in putting a publication together, and you mentioned you try to present, you know, a number of poets in any, one publication. What do you look for within the individual poet, as well as what considerations do you take into account for putting together a publication?
Well, when I get submissions, I never read the poet's bio first because I don't want to be influenced by that. What I look for good, clean writing. There's several different styles of poetry I read with an open mind. Poetry is not just spewing emotions down onto the page. I look for some indication that this writer has a basic understanding of what poetry is. You know, I look for sound. I look for language. I look at line breaks. I look at the energy. And with some submissions, when it's very obvious that it's a beginning poet, if it looks to me that they have some potential, I'll take it. You know, I want to give them a leg up. So.
That's great. I want to continue talking about this, but first let's remind our listeners that they're tuned into News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV for Delaware State of the Arts. Our guest joining us by phone today is Linda Blaske, poet and prose writer, as well as the poetry and interview editor for the Broadkill Review. Linda, the Broadkill Review, now you said in the second half of its 10th year, I believe you said?
Yes.
Reaching 10,000 readers, I think, your subscribers.
Yeah, on the average, 10,000 readers.
Yeah, internationally. Now, did I understand earlier that you have some people, you mentioned an Australian editor, I believe, is that right?
Yes.
Now, what role does that person play? Or those? How many of those, for lack of a better term, off-site editors do you have working with you?
Well, we have two, Marianne Kahn in Australia and Katie Masuga in Paris. Those are the furthest off-site. We have several contributing editors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are just so many to list.
It must be a fascinating coordinating logistics to accomplish this every 2 months, right? It's six times a year.
Every 2 months, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
When you started, how many subscribers did you have in the early editions?
You know, I'm not sure. Jamie handled that. I know there weren't a great number, mm-hmm. and those were probably people that were friends of his, or people that, again, he kind of twisted their arm and said, help me out here.
Right.
But I don't have an idea. It was a small number.
But to have grown to this size now is really incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And not only promoting this through the PDF subscription, but you are also now engaged, I believe, in a reading series in Sussex. Let's move in that direction and hear a little bit about that opportunity.
Well, it is a reading series. It's hosted by the editors of the Broadkill Review and by Irish Eyes Restaurant in Milton. Irish Eyes has several venues. This is at their Milton restaurant, which is at 105 Union Street. It is the last Wednesday of each month at 7 o'clock in the evening. It runs for approximately 2 hours. And the format is we have two featured readers, people that we invite to come and read. And then that's followed by an open mic where people in the audience can share their work. They're given a limited amount of time. And I actually talked to Jamie about beginning this reading series, and I have a quote from him, if I may read it.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. It says, one of the important reasons for starting a reading series in the first place is because there are too few venues at which new writers, or any writers for that matter, can give their work an airing before the public. which is part of what builds that sense of being a community supportive of what writers do. That's what it's always about, building a sense of community among writers. And I'd like to add a little bit to that about the reading series. It is good for new writers, but it's for both new and experienced writers, and it aids new writers because they can observe the more experienced at work and pick their brains a bit. But it's also very important for the more established to pay attention to the new and, shall I say, challenging writers, because the old dogs can easily fall into a pattern that can over time become stale, and listening to the freshness and daring of the newer writers can blast them out of that rut. And I think that a reading series, and particularly this Irish Eyes one, can do that. For instance, August 31st, we have Pat Valdatta, who is from Elkton, Maryland, and she just published a book of poetry called Where No Man Can Touch. It won the Donald Justice Poetry Prize, and it's poems about different women pilots, beginning with the first female air balloonist in the 19th century, right up to modern times. And Pat's a flyer herself, and she founded the Women Soaring Pilots Association. And she's going to be paired with Mary Power, who is a very energetic prose writer from Sussex County. She's received a couple of fellowships, I think.
Yes, she has.
Division of the Arts. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a really good reading, and people can listen to poetry and prose.
So these reading series, or the reading series, is open to the public at Irish Eyes in Milton. Correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Open to the public.
And you said it's the last?
It's the last Wednesday
of
each month, okay, at 7 p.m.
At 7 p.m. at Irish Eyes in Milton.
Yes.
I'm curious, these reading series, in addition to the reading and the public hearing, is there a Q&A or an opportunity to talk about the works that have been presented, or do you find that this reading series sometimes fosters a mentor-mentee relationship with some of the attendees, or some kind of informal, you know, critique that way?
There's not an official Q&A, but
okay,
there's a lot of mingling at the end,
yeah,
and I watch writers interact. They talk to the featured readers. They become friends with them. I know several people that have stayed in touch with some of our featured readers, and I'm sure the readers have become their mentors. So there is an exchange, and we always try and bring in people that can offer that kind of exchange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's amazing. Now, I know from reading a little bit of material you sent to me in advance that you have been involved in some critique groups. Could you speak to sort of the work that you do in that, and how writers participate in and take advantage of hearing from other writers?
Well, the critique group I belong to, it's called Coastal Writers. We just gave ourselves a name recently, I think 2 years ago, because we were just that group.
Mm-hmm.
I think that our group is the longest existing critique group I know in Sussex County. I don't know about the other counties in the state. We've been in existence since 1999.
Hmm.
When we started, we had no idea what we were doing. So we went out and we got help. We asked professional writers to come and give us workshops to teach us how to critique. And over the years, I don't think there's a single person in our group now that hasn't been published. Several have won awards. We're an open group. Anybody can come. You can be at any point in your writing, beginner, experience in your writing, beginning or experienced. Prose, poetry, we're heavy on poetry, have a lot of prose writers. But when we meet, we present a piece of work that we want to be discussed, and we all offer ideas on how perhaps it can be improved. A lot of times prose writers don't realize that they've repeated themselves like three times in one chapter, and we can say, well, you already said that. So yeah, that's what we do. We're there to help each other out.
Fascinating. Now, you've been in the part of the literary community for a while. Could you speak to the dynamics of Delaware's writing community, particularly in Sussex? Have you seen it growing? How would you characterize it?
The writing community in Sussex County has just exploded. It's just gone wild. I have friends in Newcastle County, which I think is more densely populated for the moment, say to me, we don't have that up here. We don't have that energy. We don't have those venues. Some people drive down from Newcastle County to come to our critique groups, to come to our readings. So speaking for Sussex County right now, as far as the literary world goes, I think it's a place to be.
Great. Well, we're running out of time here so quickly. If you could remind our listeners about the website where they can get more information about the Broadkill Review as well as the reading series.
Okay. The website is, it's all one word, thebroadkillriverpress.com/the-broadkill-review. As far as the reading series goes, you can email me at lynnblass@aol.com and I can send you the schedule, or you can go to Delaware, that's DELiteraryEvents.org online, because we post on there.
Well, we're running out of time, so Linda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and thank you to the Division of the Arts for all that they do.